Welcome to the Sensory Project Show with Rachel and Jessica. We're here to share all things sensory, occupational therapy, parenting, self-care, and overall health and wellness from a therapist's perspective, providing raw, honest, fun ideas and strategies for parents and families to implement into daily life. Thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, just a quick reminder before we get started. We've teamed up with Advanced Brain Technologies to bring you guys a special offer on any of their products, including the listening program. Use our code, THESENSORYPROJECT, for a discount on any of their programs. Just head over to our website, thesensoryproject.com/pages/podcast to get started today. Rachel and I are both certified providers and can help you and your family experience the amazing benefits that come from ABT's programs.
All right, we are back. Episode 51.
Oh my gosh.
Thanks for being here, guys.
So many episodes.
I love it.
What's going to happen when we get to 200 episodes?
200?
Yeah.
You're just skipping 100?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that's a lot.
It is. We're going to probably have a fancy recording studio by then.
We're going to have to.
Yes. You guys can see the setup right now.
I mean, if you watch our Instagram stories, you see it.
That's true, yeah.
So I hope you're doing that, because it shows you some good stuff.
It does.
It shows you how professional we are.
Uh-huh. You know what? We're doing it. That's all that matters. All right, so if you listened to our episode last week...
Which, of course, you did.
We talked about experiences. Jessica talked about how important this was, and one of the things that she wishes she would have known going through school. So we wanted to take this episode and talk about how important it is to create an experience for your child. Let that resonate for a minute.
Okay. Okay. So as therapists and as parents, we get super hyper-focused on goals and on deficits. And a lot of times we forget that our kids just want to have fun. Mm-hmm. They want to have a good time. They want to smile and laugh and play. And when we get so focused and absorbed in the little details, we forget about that big picture piece, that, you know, good, fun life piece that we all want. Mm-hmm. And so if we can remember that our ultimate goal as parents, as caregivers, aunts and uncles, whoever you are, our goal with our kids to raise a happy, healthy, successful human.
Yep. Yeah, let that one resonate too for a minute. Okay, I think it's good. Yeah, so, wow. Yeah, that's why we're here, you guys. Happy, healthy, successful humans.
And so then, if we think about our kids, and we think about how do children learn? They learn through play. Mm-hmm. And they learn through experiences just like we do, right? We go through an experience and we learn from it. Our kids are the same.
Yep.
So if we can create an experience for a child, they're going to learn from that experience.
Absolutely. So how do you create an experience for your child?
Very carefully. No, I'm just kidding. It's actually not that hard.
I think we should break this down into two different sections.
Okay.
So creating an experience during occupational therapy sessions.
Okay.
And then also creating an experience at home or in the community with your family. So from a parent's perspective.
Perfect.
So let's start with occupational therapy. So this is for our therapists out there and for our parents who are taking their kiddos to occupational therapy, to keep this in mind when you are finding the right therapist and finding the right fit. All right, so what do you do first?
I think you need to slow down.
Yes.
Right? Yes. You need to... So as therapists, we have our goals and we have our activities that we're going to do with our kiddos during our session. But before you jump into that activity, have a conversation with the kid. Ask how their day has been. ask them. Rachel does a really good job of this, you guys. She will ask the kids, tell me something good that happened to you this week.
I do that.
I know. And I started doing it too because I loved it. I was like, what a great way to build rapport with the kid. What a great way to start the session on a positive note. And what a great way to help the child reflect on their life, and the experiences that they're having in a positive way.
Oh, thank you.
I love it.
I love it too. And I learned so many cool things about these kiddos too.
Totally. By asking them that. And I think that's huge, is to learn about your kid and learn what they like, learn what they don't like, build rapport, slow down.
So slowing down before we jump into our session, we get down on the floor and we talk for a minute and we look in each other's eyes, we get on the same page, our bodies are moving slowly, we're taking some deep breaths while we're talking, we're just slowing down.
You're having an experience while you're just talking.
Yeah. So number two.
Laugh.
Weird, right? We are telling you, we of all people are telling you to laugh.
Make your session fun. Like, have something super enjoyable and silly in your session.
Make jokes. Tell funny stories.
Absolutely.
Make mistakes.
And laugh.
And teach your kiddos that as an adult, when you make a mistake, you need to be able to laugh at yourself.
Yes.
And help kiddos understand the importance of laughing with someone versus laughing at someone. Just giggling. Smiling.
Yep. If a kiddo likes to be tickled, like, that's okay to tickle them a little bit and get that eye contact while you're having that experience, especially with those nonverbal kids. I think it's huge to, because once you get them smiling and laughing with you and you get that eye contact, you're creating an experience for them where I really truly think our kiddos who are nonverbal can be, they can be more challenging to create an experience with because they don't have that verbal communication piece with you, and we're such verbal, you know,
beings.
So create that experience by laughing and giggling and making eye contact.
I like that. Yeah.
All right. Number three.
Breaking down activities.
Okay.
So step by step, break down the activities, give visuals, demonstrate, and then have your child, if they're able to, repeat those instructions back to you. So kind of going along with slowing it down, breaking things down, simplify them, make them attainable and achievable. We want our kids to be successful.
Yeah, and I think it's important to remember too that when you're teaching somebody something or you're giving them new information, we can't expect them to know it right away.
Correct.
Right? So our job is to help them learn the activity, and breaking it down step by step is going to help them be successful.
Yeah, it is. So, next one.
Perfect. This is one of my favorites. Let them create an activity. Yes. Or let them have control of the activity. So I see this a lot with like crafts. Kids, I mean, okay, not all kids like crafts, but the kids who do enjoy crafts, like, let them do it. Don't make it perfect. Your perfect, right? Because your perfect is going to be different from their perfect.
They have a vision in their mind of what they're trying to create.
Absolutely.
And we want that to happen.
Yes.
We want them to create that, and if it's not working how they're visualizing it, to problem solve and to make it happen.
Totally.
I see this a lot with I do this a lot with obstacle courses. I'll have kiddos help me set up an obstacle course. They'll ask if they can do it a certain way, and in a lot of situations I'm like, yeah, you want a bear crawl instead of crab walk? That is a little problem. I will take the bear walk. Or you want to make the balance beam in a circle? Great, we can make that work. So let them help create those activities, set it up. It works on a lot of underlying skills. And it makes it an experience for them.
Yeah, they're going to be so excited that they got to create something and be part of the setup.
They're probably going to go home and tell their family that they got to do that in OT today.
And then they're going to want to do it at home. Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Yeah, I really like that one. Okay, so the next one, I don't even know what number we were on. We, like, started counting them, and I don't even know. We've done a few. But the next one, so get on their level. And Rachel kind of mentioned this earlier about sitting down on the floor with them. But, yeah, get down to their level. So chances are you're taller than a lot of the kids you work with. So... So sit on the floor with them or kneel down while they stand or sit in a chair so that you're at that like face level instead of standing above them.
Yeah.
I think that makes a huge difference when you're conversing with a child because then they feel more equal versus you being like this superior individual above mm-hmm. them. You know what I mean? Like it's just this perception idea.
And going along with that, doing the activities with them.
Yes.
So if you guys are doing obstacle courses, do them together. If they're doing a log roll, you get down on the floor and do the log roll with them.
Totally.
And I like getting down on their level, like sitting down. And I like doing this when I'm talking with the families after the session. So I'm sitting down, talking with the families, talking with the kiddos. We're sharing about what we worked on today. And I think it's really important for parents as well, when we're talking to these parents after our sessions, to show them, like, we're here for you. We're here. I'm down here. You're making eye contact with me. I'm not a scary professional standing up and telling you what to do with your kiddo. We're all in this together. We're a team. And I think when you get down on not only the kids' level, but the parents' level, it makes them trust you more as well.
Totally. Yeah, for sure. Okay, the last one we have for this section, I feel like is going to be Rachel's favorite.
Yeah.
I like it too.
Be kind. So I want you guys to focus on how you're saying things, your voice.
Your volume. Voice volume is huge.
Why you're saying things. Do you need to say this? Is it necessary? Do you think that silence might be the best option in the moment? Be kind with your words and your actions, and your kiddos will be kind back to you.
Totally.
They will.
And they'll appreciate it.
Yeah. So don't yell. Don't scream.
No, don't tell them what to do
all the time. We're not drill sergeants.
No.
Just be kind, guys. Meg Ann, are you listening?
You agree with us. You know what we're talking about. Okay. Awesome. So I think, you know, we're going to jump into talking about how you can create experiences at home and in the community. And I think all the things we just talked about, you can do at home too.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like they're all, I think these work for everywhere and
Absolutely.
Everyone. But just kind of more specifically, when you're at home with your kiddos, let's talk about that. Slowing down is still number one,
mm-hmm.
right? Slowing down with your kids, having a conversation, ask your kid questions. You know, right now it's summertime, so just depending on your, you know, family situation, whether you're a stay-at-home mom or if you're a working mom and your kid goes to, like, some sort of daycare type thing, whatever it is, ask them questions about how they're doing this morning. Hey, how was your lunch? Did you enjoy it?
Ask them specific questions, not just how was your day.
Yeah, no, I like that. You know, what was one good thing that you did today? Or one good thing that you liked today.
What was something that made you happy today?
Yeah.
What was the challenge that you had to work through?
You know, I started doing this thing with Logan. And I don't do it every day just because sometimes I forget. But when we're driving to school in the morning and I'm dropping him off at school, if I remember, I will ask him what he's excited about.
Oh.
And we started doing thankful too. So then I'll ask him what's something you're thankful for today. And so
teaching him what those mean. Like, what is, like, today is Tuesday. So what are you going to do at school today? Oh, you have yoga today. Are you excited for that? Yes. So you're excited to do yoga at school today. What are you thankful for today? And a lot of times he'll say, well, I don't know. And I'll be like, well, what did we do this morning that you liked? And he'll say, oh, I ate pancakes. And I'll be like, okay, so are you thankful for pancakes? And he'll say, yes.
Oh, I'm thankful for pancakes too.
So, you know, just like talking to your kids about those things brings up a conversation and you learn more about your kids. And then they can ask you the same questions. And then it's going to make you think about what you like during your day too.
I think that these conversations and these things that we're doing make more of an impact in our kiddos' lives than we think they are making, if that makes sense. That was a really weird way of wording
it. No, but you're totally right. And really, it makes a huge impact in our own lives when yes. when we ask those questions to our kids, then it helps us to be like, wait, what about my day? What was positive in my day?
I try to do that all the time.
I know. And sometimes it's really hard.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it's so helpful when we do it.
And you make it into a positive mindset shift and you're teaching your kiddo to do the same thing.
Yeah, I like it. Something, yeah, try it out.
Okay, so going along with the first section, but getting down on the floor with your kiddo.
Getting down on their level.
Get on their level, put your phone away, turn the TV off, play Legos, play Barbies, pretend play, set up forts, create obstacle courses together. These are the times that you need to spend with your child or children and make them remember these moments. There are specific things that I remember from my childhood that I am so grateful that I remember them. And we want our kiddos to remember those same situations and to think about it and to say, yeah, I remember playing Legos with my mom on the floor. It was so much fun. And my dad, we roughhoused and we played horse and it was just like it's a great memory that I have. So we want them to think about those things. So just get down on their level. It's going to be worth it. Everything else, the chores can wait.
That's true. Dinner, the dishes can wait. Yep. The laundry can wait. You guys, I have laundry sitting in my chair at home that's been there for like a week. Because I'm like, no, I want to go to the park with my kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it really is. I mean, those things are important, too. Like, obviously, I need to go take care of my laundry at some point. But do the other things first.
I think that's a great example.
Even if it's just 5 minutes with your kid.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's just 5 minutes of coloring with them. 5 minutes of throwing a ball with them. Quick 5 minute walk around the block, you know?
Mm-hmm.
5 minutes is just, it's a huge difference for both of you. Like, you know, we're talking about creating experiences for your kiddo, but these things can help create an experience for you too and make your day more enjoyable too, which I think is huge.
How often have you said, no, not right now, or I will later? No, we need to do this first. I challenge you to think before you say that, is what you're doing right now more important than playing with your child?
Or do you have 5 minutes?
Can you make 5 minutes?
Can you make 5 minutes right now to go play with them for 5 minutes?
Yeah. Say, yeah, I'll come play catch with you. Let's do that.
Yeah, let's do it for 5 minutes, and then I'm going to go back to cooking dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, too, like, your kids can participate in all those different daily routine things, and you can create an experience out of that, right? So we've talked about meal prep a little bit in a past episode, but have your kiddo help you with dinner.
Yeah.
You know, once a week, they get to pick dinner, what you're going to have for dinner, you know, within reason, obviously. And
mac and cheese all day, every day.
Have your kiddo help you make dinner and turn it into an experience. Mm-hmm. Throw on some music, let them sit on the counter, stir things.
Yeah. And maybe you could even say, if they're bugging you to play with them, say, hey, why don't you help me with dinner? And then we'll go play while it's in the oven.
Oh, perfect. That's such a good one.
Thank you.
I like that a lot, for sure.
They're all good ones. Guys.
I mean, they are. You're not wrong.
Love it.
Okay, the next one.
Oh, this is a great one.
This is your favorite. make messes.
Yes.
So messy play.
Not even just messy play. Just like embrace the mess. If your house is a mess right now, who cares?
Well, that shows that you're living.
You are.
You're doing things.
We don't need to be perfect. We just have to make messes.
Totally.
And going along with messy play, if you can find a way to contain the mess and it makes you feel a little bit better, then let's throw some newspapers on the ground, go outside, plastic sheets or tablecloths, bins.
Yeah, the messy play bins. Mm-hmm. It's a good way to do it.
Bathtubs are great.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, absolutely.
For those wet tactile mediums.
Shaving cream.
Do it before they take their bath. So they get to play in an empty bathtub with some pudding or jello or shaving cream. And then they get in the bathtub afterwards and they get cleaned up.
Totally. I think it'd be cool to have like a designated space in your house just for messy play.
Whoa.
You know how they have like the big water tables?
Yes.
Well, maybe you have something similar, but like in your house for days when you can't go outside because it's too cold. And you have that designated messy play space for your kiddo.
I like that idea.
To get messy and have that experience.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So going along with messy play, get outside.
Get outside. Go get your vitamin D.
Right now. So you will create the most magical experiences with your kiddos during outdoor activities.
Yes.
Jessica's really good at this.
Oh, thanks. That's because I like being outside.
You too.
I mean, so do you.
I love it. I'm outside all the time if I can be.
Absolutely.
With the ticks.
So don't go to the foothills. Yeah. Walk barefoot. Let your kid play in the mud. Oh,
I have a thought. This just reminded me, walk barefoot. I have to share a story with you guys. One of my families, they were having a really rough morning. And they decided to go outside and check the garden and walk barefoot in the wet grass. And they said, when we came back inside, this kiddo was so much more organized, attended to tasks better. And like, I really think that walking barefoot in that wet grass was a great sensory experience.
Well, and you said that they were out to check the garden.
Yeah.
So they probably touched and interacted with some plants and some dirt. Mm-hmm. And that in itself is therapeutic.
It is.
Which is why so many people garden for fun. It can be so great for kids.
Yes.
Yeah, walk barefoot, play in the dirt, touch the plants.
Smell the flowers.
Don't touch the poison ivy. Sorry, I can't stop making jokes today. I don't know.
It's okay.
But let your kids play in the mud. Let them jump in the puddle because you know what? Yeah, they're going to get wet, but guess what? They'll dry off.
Let them play with the worms.
Absolutely.
Climb the trees.
Yes.
Do log rolls down the hill.
Climb up the slides.
Mm-hmm. Swing on the monkey bars. Go upside down. Hello, natural sensory integration.
Oh, all of it, for sure. I'm trying to think what the other ones are. Let them play sword fights with sticks.
Oh, yes.
And don't come after me if they poke their eye out, though, please.
But let them take their toys outside and make magical worlds in their trees and in the garden. And just let them be kids.
Let them play.
And just create.
Yes.
Last one.
I know. Why didn't we do that one as our last one? That was the best
one.
That
was a great one. Yeah. This is going to be a good one, too.
Oh, yeah. This kind of goes along with all of it, though.
Mm-hmm. This is, like, in summary, a great way to make experiences.
Da-da-da-da-da! Drum roll. Give up the control.
Oh. How many of you just cringed?
Or like laughed and they're like, yeah, right.
Okay, hear us out. Is you controlling this situation going to matter? Is having this fight for control right now the most useful thing that you can be doing with your time, with your child? Are you going to just win this battle and feel better? Or are you going to win this battle and feel guilty? Or do you think that maybe if you just let your child choose the order that they do things,
And if they want the blue cup or the yellow cup with dinner, do you think that, like, those are little problems? We can just give up that control. It doesn't matter, right? Right?
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that, you know, when we're talking about activities at the home, right? Mm-hmm. So you're talking about, like, getting dressed or the morning routine or putting dishes away. And your child's doing it, but they're not doing it the way you would prefer that they do it. So you tell them that they need to do it differently, and then it starts this fight and you have a battle over it. I think that taking a step back and asking yourself, like, okay, they put the plates in the wrong cupboard. Is that a big problem or a little problem?
Yes.
They wanted to... I've had this battle with my kid, you guys, and I have to take a step back at myself. Does it matter if your child brushes their teeth first or gets dressed first? Like, You have your preferred way of doing it, but that doesn't mean your child's going to want to do it in the same order. Mm-hmm. And as long as it gets done,
who cares?
Does it matter what order it gets done in? I don't think it matters. So, you know, I tend to, this is just the approach I take with my kid, Logan, because it's what I've learned works best for us, because I don't want to have those little battles. I'll ask him. I'll say, okay, you going to brush your teeth first, or are you going to get dressed first? Most of the time he chooses to get dressed first. Like, that's his preferred routine, but sometimes it changes. And so I just ask him, like, which one are you going to do first? Or I'll ask him, are you going to put your toys away first, or are you going to brush your teeth first?
Mm.
They're both going to get done. It doesn't matter the order we do it, as long as they get done.
I like how you word that. Instead of go brush your teeth, go put your toys away. Which one would you like to do first? I mean, just think about how that changes it and how it's creating an experience in itself.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I get to choose. I'm going to put my toys away and I'm going to throw them into the toy box under my legs like a football toss, you know? Great. Are the toys getting cleaned up?
Yes.
Slowly? Yes. But it's okay.
Yeah, I think that it's just so important to remember that as long as our kiddo's not getting hurt and it's not creating any damage, and, you know, you're not on a specific time frame for something, whatever it is, like, let your kiddo have control of the situation and let them do it in their way so that they can be happy.
We're creating strong, happy, healthy humans here, you guys.
Yes.
Hopefully this was a positive episode for you. Hopefully you learned something, you took something away. We would love to hear if you try any of these strategies. If you throw your kiddo in the bathtub and you do messy play in the bathtub, like, share that stuff with
us. I want to see that for sure.
That is all, like, we're creating an experience here for us, and this podcast is an experience, and we love seeing when you guys are trying these things, so.
Yes. All the time.
And leave a review as well.
Oh, yes. Oh, and we forgot to mention at the beginning, but our 30-day multisensory processing challenge is still going on.
Woo! It's so much fun!
Loving it. And if you didn't get a chance to join us for this round, just FYI, we've been discussing the idea of doing it again. So stay tuned. It might happen.
Yes.
But for those of you in it right now, don't you love it?
Oh, I love it. It's so much fun.
All right, guys. Thanks for being here. You're the reason we're here.
And we will see you next week.
Yes, we will.
Bye.
We are so excited to work together and to help create confident kids all over the world and work towards a happier, healthier life. This is general information related to occupational therapy, pediatrics, sensory integration, and overall health and wellness. We do not know you or your child, therefore, we do not know any specific needs, therefore, you should always refer back to your pediatrician and occupational therapist.